Psalm 71 this evening, and as has been our case for the last few weeks, we'll begin here in Psalm 71, and then we'll go to a number of other portions of Scripture. And as I've mentioned over the last few weeks as we've studied this portion of Scripture, that as you read through this psalm, you will note that the psalmist has really made a commitment. He's determined that he's going to trust the Lord and he's going to praise the Lord. And I appreciate the perspective of the psalmist. This particular psalm is not ascribed to any individual. It is not a psalm that's ascribed to David or really anyone else that we see here in the Scriptures. No doubt it could be David, I mean, with regard to several of other psalms. But we find here that the psalmist has made this commitment. We sang the song on Sunday morning, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," Psalm 118 and verse 24. And after we sang that song in our Sunday school class, I made this comment that the psalmist said, "We will rejoice." The psalmist didn't say, "This is the day the Lord hath made, and as long as everything goes well, as it goes according to my plan, as everything falls in place, then I will rejoice and be glad in it." No, the psalmist said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And that's an understanding of who the Lord is. And we find here in Psalm 71 that the psalmist says, "I'm going to trust Him." Notice in verse number 1, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." By the way, that will never be misplaced trust. Amen? And you ever trust in someone and you were failed. Someone failed you. They let you down. It was misplaced trust. That will not happen with the Lord. And what a blessing to know His faithfulness. We find that as we study through this psalm, that not only does He say that He's going to trust, but He says that He's going to rejoice and He's going to lift His voice in praise unto the Lord. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor." Notice what He says, all the day. All the day. I begin to think about the psalmist and having this understanding of who God is to him personally and how that impacted how he would trust the Lord and how he would praise the Lord. See, we've titled this little series on Wednesday evenings, "The Lord is my ... And of course, if you begin to think about that phraseology, and you think about many times, perhaps one of the first things that will come to our mind is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm 23, what a great truth. And we'll get to that portion of Scripture as we study here on Wednesday evenings. But the reality is that God is all that we need, and He fulfills everything that we need. And God has given us in His Word these particular revelations to us with regard to who He is to us personally, so that we might trust Him like we should, so that we might praise Him like we should. And in previous weeks, we've been encouraged to know from verse number 3 that the Lord is my rock. He's not only my rock, but He's my fortress. We dealt with that last week. I mentioned about the figurative language that is used here. And no doubt, when you read those words of Scripture, it stamps in your mind an image that would bring comfort and encouragement. What a blessing that though David, and he of course not ascribed to Psalm 71, but David in Psalm 18 and in 2 Samuel, he mentions the Lord is my fortress. And that's David speaking. And you think about the context, he speaks about how God delivered him from all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. When David was running, and he's on the run, and Saul's hunting him with all of the chosen men, that David says, "The Lord is my fortress. He's my rock." I think about the strength and the stability and the security that God provides us with as you think about the imagery, that figurative language that is used there in verse number 3. If you look at verse number 5, notice what the Bible says here in Psalm 71 in verse number 5, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth." I've titled the lesson this evening there from verse number 5, "The Lord is my hope." The Lord is my hope. Now, biblical hope is most accurately defined this way: confident expectation. See, today you use the word hope. In fact, I did a quick search this afternoon to just see. I was curious to find what would come up on an online thesaurus. And the first word, synonym, that came up for hope was wish. Very first one that came up. And really, that's the way that most people think about hope in our language today, in our society today. We talk about biblical hope. There's no wishing. Biblical hope is a confident expectation. And we find here that the psalmist declares that the Lord is his hope, there in verse number 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God." That's a powerful statement. And I begin to think about the impact. Notice what he says in verse number 14. If you skip down and look at that verse of Scripture, notice what he says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Remember, I made the statement by way of introduction in previous lessons as well, that when the psalmist had the understanding of who the Lord was to him personally, it results in trusting him more and in praising him more. And oh, the songwriter said, "How glad I am that I have learned to trust him. He's trustworthy." But oh, that we'd lift our voice and praise him as we should. See, when we know who he is, we praise him. I'll share more of the story at the end of the message this evening, but someone yesterday looked at me and said, "I don't believe in Jesus." They're entitled to that opinion. But the reality is that it just broke my heart, because when I know all that God has revealed to me of who he is, the message that I just preached on Sunday, that he took my place, and someone to have that perspective, oh, my heart was broken for them. But this evening, when we as the people of God, we've entered into that relationship with the Lord through the salvation that we have through Christ, and he is our Father and we are his children, and we find the psalmist says, "He's my hope." Now, the reality is some hope in a variety of things. Some have hope in politics. That'd be a shame, amen? And I remember hearing people say certain things about, "Now we have hope." No. We don't have hope no matter what the outcome of any election is. We have hope because God's on his throne. And in the Lord, he is my hope. Some put their hope in riches. In fact, Job says it this way in Job 31. Maybe you'll note the verse of Scripture. But in Job 31, in verse number 24, Job says this. He says, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence." See, that's foolish as well, because we know that the Bible teaches us that wealth isn't permanent. We're finding that to be the case as well, aren't we? And the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 23 and verse number 5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." See, our hope is not in any person. Our hope is not in wealth. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in God. And begin to think about this portion of Scripture, and begin to think about the psalmist and trying to take what they're saying and understanding the implications for us this evening, and beginning to put all these things together. And I was considering this truth. There was a time for you, there was a time for me, when we were without hope. We're without hope. Go to the book of Ephesians, if you will, with me. Let's look at a couple of New Testament portions of Scripture. And I want you to see that there was a time in your life, there's a time in my life, that we were without hope. Without hope. In Ephesians chapter number 2, we find that the Bible begins by talking about salvation through grace. He begins in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Begins to explain several things with regard to our past walk and how we were walking in darkness, we were blinded, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses and our sins. We begin to see about the mercy of God and the grace of God. Look at verse number 11, if you will. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Notice what it says, "that at that time ye were without Christ." Do you remember before you were saved? I remember before I got saved. Notice how he describes it, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world." But I want you to to circle maybe or underline or notate in your notes those words in verse number 11, in time past. And then in verse number 12, at that time ye were. See, that's past tense. That's before salvation. That's before Christ. And I had no hope. But you notice in verse number 13, you see these two words, but now. Isn't it precious to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It says, but now in Christ Jesus ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Notice it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. And he says in verse number 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Aren't you thankful for salvation? So there was a time that we had no hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we won't take the time to turn there, but the portion of Scripture is dealing with really the rapture of the church. And Paul begins in verse number 13 by saying, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. You know, there are people that are hopeless. They have no hope. They're living life without hope. There was a time in your life, there was a time in my life, if you can remember, before Christ, that you had no hope. No hope. But I'm thankful that that time is in the past. And I'm thankful that as believers, the Lord is my hope. Notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 as he's writing here to his son in the faith. And I want you to notice the terminology that he uses. I mean, it's so simple but so impactful when we think about the simplicity of the statement, but we gather all that comes with it, and understanding that in time past, at that point when we were lost and undone, when we were guilty and condemned, that we had no hope. But notice as Paul begins writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. In verse number 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's our hope. He's our hope. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter will echo these same words that we read of Paul here in 1 Timothy. We find that Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Again, it's interesting when you look contextually and understanding about the not having hope and then now having hope in Christ. We find that Peter begins writing in verse 17, and he says this of chapter 1 and verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Notice that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith and hope. I think there's an interesting connection between faith and hope. Faith is taking God at His word, believing what God says. Faith is Paul standing up when they've not seen the sun, the moon, the stars for days, and all hope that they should be saved was gone. And he says, I believe God. I believe God. We find that when we have that faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, is what we find in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, that faith will lead to hope. And we find that Jesus is our hope. And we can rejoice and understand this evening that though we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and we live in a time of all sorts of craziness that's taking place, that we can understand God's my hope. God's my hope. You say, did you see what happened in the stock market? I have no idea what happened in the stock market. You see what's going on with this and with that and so on and so forth. And I'm not suggesting that we should have our head in the sand, but our hope is not in those things. Our hope is in God. I want you to think about the impact of this wonderful truth. We'll go back to the book of Psalms, and I want you to look at just a few verses with me and think about the impact in your life and my life when we recognize that God is my hope and we make that declaration. Go back to Psalm 31, if you will. Psalm chapter 31. See, we find that God reveals himself to us and he reveals all of his attributes through his word so that we too would come to the place of the psalmist and we'd say, the Lord is my hope. Yes, he's my rock. Yes, he's my fortress, but he's my hope. And as we continue to study through here on Wednesday evenings, I hope that our faith is increased as we recognize who God is to us personally. We find here in Psalm 31 in verse number 24, notice what the Bible says. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. See, when the Lord is my hope, I'm hoping in the Lord, I'm having this confident expectation, and we find that he says that he says, be of good courage. He says this, he will strengthen your heart, as we're hoping. As we're having that confident expectation. See, because we know that everything God has said that he will do, he will do. He will bring it to pass. There's not one thing that's going to fail that he's revealed to us in his word. His plan will come to pass, and we can rejoice, and we find that the psalmist says, be of good courage and understand that God will strengthen your heart. Notice this in chapter 33, and look in verse number 16. We'll read through verse number 21, but notice in Psalm 33, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So we've declared that the Lord is my hope, my confident expectation, and I place my hope and my trust in him. We find the Bible says there in verse number 18 that the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Notice what it says, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So what would make somebody say the Lord is my hope when we understand all of these other things about who God is and we think about his attributes and we think about his nature and his character and then we say the Lord is my hope. He's my hope. Notice what the Bible says in Jeremiah, in chapter number 17. Jeremiah 17, you think about the nation of Judah and all that was taking place and the Babylonians and going to conquer and all of those things, and Jeremiah prophesying in these days on the eve of the captivity. But in verse number 5, we'll pick it up there. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse number 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. But notice this in verse number 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. Look over at verse 17. It says, be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Calamity would come and difficulty would be there. And it says, be not a terror unto me, for thou art my hope in the day of evil. And you begin to focus this evening and thinking about having the impact of this truth in my life and how as we go through life and people that are hopeless, that we should never be in that category where someone would look at our life or listen to our words, observe our behavior and say, that person doesn't have any hope. Have you ever seen someone that you can almost just see in their countenance, they have no hope? They have no hope. You say, no. the Lord is my hope. The Lord is my hope. No matter what's taking place, no matter all of the calamities, the evil that's taking place, the Lord is my hope. See, I believe that He's in control. You believe that this evening? He's in control. He makes no mistakes. His way is perfect, and He doeth all things well, and we find that all things will, as we understand the truth in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, for us and our lives as the people of God, we know, for we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And those first three words of Romans 8, 28 are important, for we know. This is what we know based upon what God has revealed to us. And we begin to think about this. And as I think about the truth that this, the psalmist says, the Lord is my hope. We think about the time in our lives where we had no hope, and we come to the place where we're saved, and as believers, the Lord is my hope. We see the impact of this truth, and the reality is that we ought to desire that others would be able to say with us, the Lord is my hope. That we'd see some people that are hopeless trust Christ as their Savior, be able to say, the Lord is my hope. The Lord is my hope. There's a song, and we've been singing it at home here a little bit. In fact, I think Brother Pierre's going to have the choir work on this. I asked him, do you know this song? He's like, oh yeah, I like that song. And I said, well, Brown has been playing, I've been singing it, and I won't tell you that it sounds good, but it's a good song. And My Hope is Jesus. How many of you know that song, My Hope is Jesus? It's a good one. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me and He will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus, my hope is Jesus. When darkness hides my Savior's face, I rest on His unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong, I still lift up salvation's song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and He will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. The last verse says this, when He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. My hope is Jesus. For those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we'd say, my hope is Jesus, my hope is in the Lord. We could echo the words of the psalmist. But you know what's interesting? You read Psalm 78, and the Bible says, as one generation would pass off and influence a future generation, that we desire that they would set their hope in the Lord. That they would set their hope in the Lord. Yesterday, I spoke with a man. My heart was broken, you know, several times, and I think I'm going to take some time. I'm cut a little short this evening to take some testimonies, because one of the things I'm thankful for is witnessing opportunities. Some people have shared some things with me that I want you to share tonight and be a blessing and encouragement. But I gave a man a gospel tract yesterday, and gave that man a gospel tract, and he said, oh, is this for me? And I said, it is for you. And he said, okay. And I started to walk away. It was in a grocery store. And as I walked away and just got a few feet away, he said, this is for me, right? I said, it is for you. So he asked me that, so I'd turn around and look at him. And I said, yes, it's for you. And he ripped it in my face. And he said, I don't believe in Jesus. And I'll tell you, in that moment, my heart was broken for him. I don't know whatever happened in his life to make him so angry and bitter and calloused. But I know this, that God loves him. I could tell before I ever gave the man a gospel tract that he's a cranky guy, just through how he's behaving. I'm just being honest. You can pick up on people and what they're going through. You can read people's tendencies and have that level of discernment. You could just tell something wasn't good with this guy. He ripped that thing up in my face. I didn't get angry. I prayed for him. Prayed for him today. My heart is broken for this guy. And see, There was a time that I had no hope. There was a time that you had no hope. But now we can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my hope. We understand as we look through the scriptures that God has revealed himself to us so that we would stand and be able to say, the Lord's my hope. I have that confident expectation. I know that what he has said, he will do. He will bring it to pass because he's God. And he doeth all things well. This evening, as much as we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord is my hope and we can echo the words of the psalmist, I hope that God would help us to understand that there's a future generation that we want to see them set their hope in God. You think about the student ministries that are taking place. You think about the ministries that we have in our church and children's ministry on Sunday morning and trying to influence. It's not just all about having fun and playing games and doing all that sort of thing. No. We want them to know who God is. We want them to grow up and set their hope in God. And they'd be able to say, my hope is Jesus. My hope is the Lord. And this evening, the psalmist continues, and we'll continue studying this, and we'll look at all that the Lord is to us. But there are times in which people, they have no hope. No hope. Should never be said of God's people, because God is my hope. The Lord is my hope. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. I thank you that though one day I had no hope, I was without hope, but in Christ, all things changed. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, that we could say, even as the psalmist says here, the Lord is my hope. I pray, God, that you would bless as we take some testimonies and as we pray together as a church family. I pray, God, that you'd work in ways in which only you can work, that you alone would be glorified. Well, thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, before we get